Welcome to Making Sense of MarTech, an irregular set of conversations with some of the most interesting people in marketing, tech, and advertising. I'm Juan Mendoza. I write the MarTech Weekly newsletter. It's a weekly email and that covers the most important shifts in the marketing tech industry. You can read, listen, and subscribe at themartechweekly.com. Okay, today I have Adam Furness joining me. Adam is the Asia Pacific Managing Director for Impact.com. Now, Impact.com is a platform for helping managing partnerships, content collaborations, affiliate marketing, and a whole host of things around partnerships and content strategy. Now, Impact is one of the kind of few platforms really solely focused on partnership automation by helping, I guess, businesses grow through creating better media buying decisions and also managing partner life cycles and all the things that go into content and media partnerships. Adam is also the co-chair of Unlimited, the social purpose organization connecting the media, marketing, and creative industries with charities and helping children and young people at risk. In this episode, we talk about the return of affiliate marketing and how privacy pressures on the digital marketing industry are bringing about a renewed interest in content partnerships, affiliate marketing, and all these new ways to scale up content marketing efforts with influencers, bloggers, content creators, and of course, publishers. And so now I bring you Adam Furness. How you doing?
Yeah, good, Juan. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. I'm so excited to have you folks. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a little while, ever since I learned about Impact.com just earlier this year. So I'm keen to dive into this conversation, learn all about what Impact is doing, but more importantly, how you guys are working to give marketers more options in the digital marketing space. So I want to get you to give me your introduction, a little bit of a life story, but maybe what's your journey been with Impact.com so far? What does that look like? How long have you been with the company?
Yeah, sure. So look, I've been with Impact.com for about 6 years. I didn't think I was going to join this affiliate world. I've come from a background of, I was in radio, I was in TV, I was in publishing and then kind of programmatic. And I got a call back from an internal headhunter in about 2017. And they said, hey, we've got this opportunity at Impact Radius, as it was called back then, Impact Radius. And I'm like, affiliate, I don't want to join an affiliate business. That doesn't sound like me. It sounds a little bit like dirty for me. And so I was putting other people forward for this role at Impact Radius as it was back then. And then, you know, anyway, after a few months of speaking, they said, come over to Santa Barbara, come and meet us all and let's have a deeper conversation around kind of where we're going with the organization. And once I went over and met with all the key people and that wonderful humans, first and foremost, and they explained to me around, you know, kind of this affiliate piece and where, you know, the affiliate industry is going and broadening out into partnerships and how affiliate is a mechanism where it's a paid on business outcome and that Impact Radius was going to rebrand and we're getting a CMO and we're raising some money and six years ago. And I was just like, I was dumbfounded by listening to customer stories as well and actually hearing from customers and the power that this space has actually, you know, transformed their organizations. And I thought that's something I want to get into. And so we pretty much did a deal then and there. Juan, remember the conversation I was having with our global CEO at the point was Dave Yvonne. And anyway, so I joined 6 years ago. I joined, I was like the fourth person in APAC. There was an office in Sydney. There was a guy in my role prior to me starting. He just didn't work out. And over that time, we've gone from like four people in the Sydney office to about 100 people across APAC. And we've got offices now, there's about seven offices. So Sydney, Melbourne, Singapore, there's some people in Indonesia and Malaysia, an office in Tokyo and also in Shanghai in China. So my remit is to run, I'm across all those offices. So I guess run the business across all areas of the business, sales, marketing, operations, customer success. We've got legal and finance and everything that you need to run a business within that operation. So it rolls up to me. So yeah, 6 years in, man.
That's quite the story. I mean, I've heard a few of the similar stories in, like, I guess in adjacent spaces to what you could probably say programmatic advertising or the mainstream way where a lot of ad dollars go, whereas all these adjacent spaces, affiliates, one of them, you know, social media listening, social analytics and intelligence is another one growing a lot in this APAC region as well. We recently had Meltwater on our podcast to talk about how they've grown here in the APAC region and the demand, I guess, for social listening or social analytics services. And I kind of resonate with what you said earlier, Adam, about affiliate marketing. It kind of gives you this ick, like it's this gross word, you know, and you're like, and I don't know exactly where that comes from. I think maybe it just comes from the culture of blogging. And, you know, when you see an article and it says, you know, FYI, this is a affiliate article, or there's any links that are clicked to make money, you know, maybe that's part of it, that you can't fully trust the content, or there's aspects to it where people just really didn't see it as a good thing. But it's interesting to see that your perspective's changed over time when you saw Impact rebranding, a new direction for the business. Obviously, the commercial outcomes have already been there, and there's been demand from marketers and also bloggers and affiliates as well. So it can't all be a bad word. I mean, there should be some great stuff in there. But I would love for you to help our audience to define how you see affiliate and partnership marketing. Could you give us some broad strokes overviews on what this thing actually is?
Yeah, look, I think why it was kind of dirty, I think for me it was a lack of understanding when I first kind of heard about, you know, an affiliate as a word. I think it's come from a place of a bit of a black box as well. So not knowing where sales have come from on these links, not knowing who's kind of pushing them out, not knowing if people are doing some average sort of behaviors to create, you know, clicks and sales and all those sort of things. So I think over time, and certainly from an impact.com perspective, it's been the ability to kind of bring some transparency around who you're working with, and then, you know, give some quality of analytics, reporting and tracking to give confidence in the ecosystem. So our founders were the founders of one of the original affiliate networks, which was Commission Junction. And they sold that years and years ago now. I think it's 14, 15 years ago, because they were looking for a better way, looking for a way to build a platform that gave confidence and transparency to the ecosystem and empowered those within that sort of marketplace, if you like. So I think that's sort of where it's sort of come from in the word itself. But when I think about affiliate is a channel, typically. So it's a cashback, coupon, loyalty, rewards type of channel. And that has evolved to what it is today, which is a really powerful channel for an advertiser or marketer to work with, and a lot more transparency in the channel. So it is a channel, but it's also a mechanism. So it's that mechanism of business outcome, which I touched on before. And it's that ability to apply that mechanism of a business outcome to any type of relationship, a referral style relationship typically. So you can have that type of relationship if you are a business with a content creator or an influencer where you're paying them on an outcome. You could have that relationship with a website, if you like. That could be a blogger. It could be a highly led editorial website where they're writing articles about certain things, and there's links in those articles, but it's a recognized kind of brand as a website. You have that relationship, you pay them based on a sale. You could have that with another business, where there's two businesses strategically working together that share an audience, where you're paying that business to sell your products to their audience. Or it could be a charity, or it could be an app. So in this case, affiliate is just that mechanism of a paid per business outcome, where that is the way that you remunerate that referral-based partner, if you like. So two ways to look at affiliate, one as a channel and one as a mechanism of payment one.
Mm. And affiliate is not anything really new, is it? I mean, if we think about the history of, I guess, this type of sponsored content, if you want to call it that, you know, there's been sponsored content in magazines and newspapers for more than 100 years. You know, there's been brands paying people that create content, write content, journalists, all kinds of people to create content on specific products or to feature them, etc. But the internet kind of scaled that up. Like it turned kind of anyone could be really an affiliate. And the affiliate space is constantly attracting new people to join it, whether it be the spammy join our kind of affiliate pyramid scheme, or like actually serious operations where you've got, you know, a team of people that you're creating content with. And it's affiliate stuff that of course, through influencer, social channels, blogging, web, video, you know, opportunities to drive revenue, but also connect consumers with products and services and reviews and all those kinds of things. And so it's not a new thing at all. But I think what's quite interesting now is that there's been, it feels almost like the web now in 2023, getting into 2030, it's kind of becoming a blank slate again. There's a lot of resets happening in the industry, particularly from a data privacy perspective. And we'll talk about that a little bit later and how Impact is situated within the entire sort of narrative around privacy and data collection and ad tech and advertising. But I guess the opportunities for affiliate marketing are there. And as you say, that you've seen with impact.com, there's been a lot of great outcomes for marketers. I mean, your team didn't go from 4 people to 100, you know, based on magic. I mean, there's been a lot of value and outcomes. However, I guess the big problem, I think, in affiliate marketing is that those partnerships are hard to start and they're hard to manage ongoing. It takes a lot of manual work, a lot of labor, a lot of relationship building. And so could you give us some insight into how, I guess, impact.com helps scale this or make this automated in a way that brands can do this stuff without having a huge team having to manage all these partnerships?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really, really great question. And firstly, you are right. We did go from 4 people to 100 people in APAC, you know, just because of magic. That's actually, it's 5 customers we started with, and we now have 400 customers across Asia Pacific across that time. And we pride ourselves on retaining and growing those customers, which is really important. So we talk a lot about irrational love, where we want our customers to love us so much they don't want to go, anywhere else. But to answer your question, which I'm going to ask you to repeat because I just spoke without thinking about what the question was.
That's all good. So I guess with affiliate marketing, it's challenging because it takes a lot of partnership work. It's a lot of relationships. There's a lot of manual stuff you need to do there. But impact.com has a solution that helps automate or scale some of that up. So you can spend less time trying to do individual negotiations with affiliates or partners and bring that into a platform where you can actually have those exchanges with greater volume. So how do you guys approach that? Like, what does that look like at impact.com?
Yeah, got it. Okay. So yeah. If you think about what that means, so when you've got a partnership, there's a bunch of different steps to a partnership. The first is, you need to agree on what that looks like. If your partners, you're going to pay that partner to do something for you. So you need a way to contract with them, agree on what those terms are of that partnership. Then you need a way to kind of track that partnership. You know, if it is someone that is trying to sell your product online and they're driving back to your website, how are you kind of tracking that is actually working? Then how can you visualize it? How do you report on whether it's working? Can you pull reports? What does that look like? And then if you've got various partnerships, you need to kind of look at which ones are working and which ones aren't. So then you want to be able to do more with those that are working and less than those that aren't working. So you need to optimize. And then because you've got a contract with them and you've agreed on terms, you need to pay them as well. So what impact.com does is it provides technology that allows you to do all of these areas of a partnership via technology, which then can give you some time back so you can focus on deepening the relationship, understanding, you know, what's going on in each other's businesses and how do you do more things. So the technology allows the partnership to scale by doing all the heavy lifting in the back end of all those things that are important when you have got a partnership. So you can, you know, maybe work with a couple of partners and not have technology, and that's fine. And you'll have a finance department which will be doing the invoices, and you might have like a Excel document which you're kind of trying to track some things on. And but you know, when you've got 5, 10, 15, 20, 50, 1,000, 10,000, 40,000 partners, which some of our clients actually have, our customers have all around the world, you need technology to be able to help you work with those various kind of partners.
So I guess in this space now of like third-party data, third-party cookies going away, you know, increased, you know, scrutiny from government regulators, consumer brands like Sephora are now being fined for their use of their data. You know, and one of the themes that we track very closely at the MarTech Weekly and all this podcast is privacy and all the really interesting second order effects of privacy change, particularly around data and advertising and how marketers use that data to grow their brands. I guess impact.com fits in here somehow. And you guys have been growing a lot.
But I wanted to ask, has the privacy pressures on the industry impacted, impacted Impact.com? Has it changed the business or your approach, or marketers looking for new opportunities now to find ways to grow their brand outside of your typical programmatic or dealing with walled gardens for paid advertising?
Yeah, I actually think it's one of the tailwinds for our industry. So if I think of some of the tailwinds for the space, one is that customer acquisition costs have gone up in social. And there's also been a little bit of distrust in advertising. That would be also a bit of a tailwind. And then, you know, you talk about deprecation of the cookie. So it becomes one of those sort of tailwinds where brands and advertisers, if you like, are looking at ways they can take control of not only their own data, but their own kind of ecosystems, their own way of kind of building their businesses. And partnerships or affiliates, depending on how you look at it, provides that way to control your own ecosystem, deal with partners that you want to deal with, businesses or individuals that you want to deal with, share whatever you want to share with them, and really kind of take control of that data narrative as well. It's all first party data. When we're talking about tracking, it could be referring URLs, it can be QR codes, it can be coupon codes. It's not third party data related. It can be first party data related, or even I think as we were talking before, Juan, you know, there's a real opportunity within this ecosystem to start thinking about second party data as well, and how that kind of works within that ecosystem. So I think that the deprecation of cookies and privacy and all those sort of things, I actually think it's a tailwind. And we're definitely starting to see more and more brands coming on board because they're a bit over what's going on out there, and they're a bit over not being in control. And they see this as a way for them to actually take control of their own ecosystem, those partners they work with that are going to drive their business.
And it's such a fascinating angle, because I guess the value of ad tech to the internet is effectively to make it free or to make it lower cost to get access to content, social networking, information, products and services. All of those things come out of being able to monetize people's attention on their web. Now, when the third-party cookie goes away, and you know we've got the giants like Apple and Google battling it out for building their own ad networks, like Amazon's retail media network is huge, and so is the AWS broader advertising ecosystem. So like we've got this situation where, well, you know, back in the 90s and the early 2000s, bloggers were making quite a bit. It was actually pretty lucrative to be doing sponsored posts or affiliate marketing through blogging, purely by the virtue that, you know, there wasn't huge monolith, major ad tech networks with huge scale. You know, marketers were literally looking for opportunities to place their products and content, and affiliates were just there and making quite a bit of money. And so I think about affiliates sometimes, I'm like, it feels like a bit of a renaissance moment, but what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a really interesting way to think about it. We're certainly seeing the rise of creators. So I guess that's, you know, that may be the renaissance. And it's not your celebrity influencers. It's, you know, those individuals that might only have 10,000, 15,000 followers, but they are loyal followers and they're creating content and they're doing things that is valuable for those followers. And they're being really, really creative with what they're doing. And their followers are trusting them, and they've got this authentic relationship with them in it. You know, so we're just seeing that. So if you're a brand and you want to, you know, work with those type of content creators, working with one or two isn't probably going to move the needle for you as a brand. So you need to be working with maybe a dozen, maybe more. And then once you start doing that, that's where kind of the technology piece comes into play as well, because you need technology to be able to manage, you know, 50, 100, 2,000 content creators. And that's where we're starting to see, like, definitely some traction for our business as well, as one of those types of partnerships. But call it a renaissance if you like. But it is definitely a growing space, and big right now.
Yeah, I definitely see the value. The thing that appeals to me, and I think that we may see, you know, affiliate used to be a dirty word, right? But like ad tech or like programmatic advertising wasn't. And now we're kind of seeing the opposite, the inverse of that, where like programmatic advertising and ad tech is like a dirty word because ever since Cambridge Analytica back in 2017, 2018, you know, Meta had that situation where they were a huge ad network and they had a big data leak, and then change the narrative for media, particularly like journalists are very skeptical, not very optimistic about the advertising technology industry anymore. Nowhere near as where they were optimistic earlier. So we've got this inverse where like affiliates could actually be one of the really great ways to keep awesome content online and to keep those business models alive and hopefully thriving in this sort of post-cookie landscape. I think it's a really great point you raise. It perhaps would be a tailwind for impact.com. But I did want to ask quickly on, I guess, the problem with a lot of affiliate marketing is that you don't know what you're going to get. It's a bit of a lucky dip sometimes. And you may have influencers that are awesome, that work with you, really believe in vision of your product, really partner with you, look for new opportunities to help you grow your brand. And then there are others that don't care. And then there's like spammers with fake traffic, fake content. Everything is written by ChatGPT as an example. How do you guys verify and, I guess, vet some of these affiliates and content creators on your platform?
There is both an automated and manual kind of vetting where we have people, eyeballs, actually humans looking at those that have signed up as a publisher on the publisher side. So there is that part. But the other part is, you know, when you're paying on a business outcome, a sale delivery, like you're not paying, I guess, you can actually via the platform pay for a post if you like, or content creation.
Yeah.
But the majority is paying on a business outcome. So if you're paying on a business outcome and there is a content creator which has been verified that's giving you a business outcome, you're confident that that is the case, but you also can talk to them, right? So via the platform, we've got chat functionality. So, you know they're really, they're a legitimate person and they're doing a great job. And you can also via the platform, you can see the content that they're kind of pushing out there. And so there's various ways that you can verify that they're the right type of partner that, you know, you want to kind of work with. But we also encourage businesses to go deep with whoever they're partnering with. So it shouldn't be a campaign by campaign. Let's just drop in and drop out. It's a long-term relationship. Like, who are those individuals that you want to continue to work with over a longer period of time, and then go deep with them? So have a one-to-one relationship with them. We also have, you know, businesses that are working with agencies that are running those various kind of content creators as well. So those agencies are trusted and they have relationships with their content creators. So there's a few different ways that we verify the quality when it comes to those human content creators. It's a bit easier when you're talking like big businesses and you're talking, you know, websites which are well known, you know, your Newses and your Yahoos and your pedestrians of the world in Australia, and that's sort of thing. You know, the people that are running those businesses, you see the content, so that's a bit easier.
Yeah, I think there is the trust, authenticity, and also brand safety aspect as well. You know, you don't want to blindly be putting content, affiliate selling products on maybe a content that website that may not be super relevant to your brand or even detrimental to it. You know, and there is like contextual advertising now has a lot of that brand safety aspect featured and pulled in, where, you know, they'll suppress ads on certain websites or on certain contextual content websites because of the brands that want to have that to protect their actual authority and their reputation as well. And so, but you're right that like there is different shades of relationships, right? There's the deep dive relationship or a relationship through a third party like an agency, or directly just hiring someone to try some stuff. But like ensuring that there's a business outcome associated with affiliate marketing is probably one of the easiest ways to scale up that this is actually a real company getting real outcomes for you, you know. But yeah, again, it's influencers have a unique role, I guess, in the internet economy because of the name. It's they influence people and they influence how brands are perceived. And so it is quite interesting to think about, okay, scaling up affiliate marketing, but also having to think about how your brand is being perceived or communicated through influencers. It's also, I guess, part of the challenge of wading into this space.
Well, 100%, Juan. And I think I didn't mention this before when I was going through the partnership lifecycle. One of the other sort of steps in there is kind of to protect. So within our technology, we have the ability to protect. And what that means is that means protect from ad fraud. It means protect from brand safety. There's compliance elements in there where, you know, we can scrape articles, look for keywords, feed that back into a dashboard and really empower those that are using the technology to make sure they're staying on top of of what's going on. But yeah, 100%, that's really important.
Yeah, that's great. So we've talked about affiliate marketing, partnership marketing, how you guys do it. And now I want to move into how this space is evolving. As you say, there's a bit of a tailwind now because of the privacy pressures on the industry. It's a bit of a tailwind for impact.com and on your opportunities for marketers to experiment. But could you give us an insight into perhaps a roadmap or where do you think this space will go? I mean, impact.com has already transformed once. Like, they've gone from a totally different brand, whole new perspective, whole new vision, all that kind of thing. So they're not, I guess, strangers to like disrupting themselves and actually building new types of technologies. But how is this space evolving? How are you guys building the future of this industry?
The way that we look at the world is, yeah, well, it's an economy or it's an ecosystem. In fact, our global CEO, David Yovano, actually wrote a book on partnership economy. So we do look at it as an economy or an ecosystem, if you like, where we have demand and we have supply and we have agencies which are managing or consultants which are kind of managing technology. And then we have a bunch of sort of ecosystem players. So the way that we look at the world is we are going to either buy or build technology that can ensure this ecosystem is really productive. So on the demand side, we'll think about, okay, what areas do we need to buy or build? We'll think about different elements. Okay, creator is really important, or influencer. We bought an influencer marketing business. We roll that into our technology. We're like, hey, publishers are super important. What do publishers need? Well, they need technology that allows them to do more of this content commerce, which is building, which is where you write articles, write journos, and you put links in those articles and they drive off. But that's different to an advertorial because it's not the advertising telling you what to do or write. It's actually the journalist writing what they want to write and then thinking about inserting brands into those articles. Well, you need technology to do that. So we bought some technology that allows kind of publishers to be able to do that. And then we start, thinking about all this stuff that's going on in the ecosystem and how do we ensure that productivity really works, where demand and supply are working really well together, and they're building their own mini ecosystem with that in our ecosystem. So if you do this, then you've got all these kind of network effects that are happening within the community or within your economy that you're building. And so our view is we just continue to do that. We're in it for the long game. We're not here as an overnight type of business. We just want to continue to build. We think it's a massive, massive opportunity all around the world. And like Salesforce has built out that category for, I guess, a sort of sales automation, and Marketo and HubSpot have done it for marketing, we're doing that in the world of partnerships. So we're tip of the iceberg, I'd say, Juan, and it's not like we're going to change our strategy. We feel that now, that partnership economy is the right strategy. We feel like the ecosystem and the various players within the ecosystem, there's so much that we can do to help it flourish. And we just want to continue to do that every single day. We want to become that system of record that everyone that's thinking about partnerships uses, whether they're a large enterprise or someone that's sort of just starting out. We're looking at various, I guess, forms of our technology to be able to work across different sizes of organizations and individuals.
Yeah, and if you think about it, I guess, as you say, it's an economy. Like, advertising online is an economy with a whole variety of players, industries, roles, incentives. It's an economy. And the folks that got the rough deal out of that economy are the publishers. They got the rough deal. I mean, before the internet, selling like ad space on newspapers, magazines, TVC was extremely lucrative for publishers. Extremely, because they owned the means of distribution, literally the factories that are printing out newspapers every single day. And so if you think about it, publishers in the internet age have got a bad deal, but maybe affiliate marketing or this partnership ecosystem technology, which is what I love about it, is it's decentralized. You guys obviously mediate those relationships, but the relationships are kind of owned between those two parties. So it's kind of decentralized in that way. You're not just dealing with one platform and they run the entire network. It's opaque. You can't see what's going on and they get the outcomes for you. So what I like about that is it might be a way to save a lot of publishing. It might be an avenue. And I honestly, I don't hear a lot of publishers talking about affiliate or partnership marketing as a viable option, but I could see it as definitely a way to viably generate more revenue for content. I could definitely see that happening.
It's happening, Juan. So absolutely. So when I talked about sort of that content commercialization, you're right. Like your display advertising is sort of dried up when you talk about like programmatic and that sort of thing. It's like, okay, sort of dried up. So what does a publisher do? Well, what are they great at? They're great at understanding the audience. They're great at developing content to distribute to that audience. So that's what they do. And then secondary to that, they think about, okay, we're going to focus on that. But if we can incorporate brands into this content where our audience, which trusts us, can go off and buy these brands, then we should make some money out of that. And this is a model that is being pushed and it's working. And the reason it's working is because it's not the advertiser that's pushing it, right? The advertiser isn't saying, hey, I'm Woolworths, book my ad in your content. It's the publisher saying, we're writing this great content. And then you know what? It's about the top five recipes that you should be preparing yourself for winter, or top five soups or whatever. And they're writing that because their audience, which loves to hear about the recipes, are reading their content for that. And then you know what? You can go off to Coles, you can go off to Woolworths, you can go off to IGA and Audi to buy these recipes, choose your link, go off. And then, of course, that publisher should get paid for that. They're driving business to those brands or those advertisers or those businesses, and they're in control. It's the new world. It's a new model. It's happening now, and publishers are earning good money off it.
Yeah, we're the Martech Weekly. We're a startup media company, of course. This podcast is part of our media business. But I think I would say two things on that is that it's refreshing to hear new monetization opportunities for publishers. In the raw deal that they've got, I mean, you know, Scott Galloway famously once said, you know, he's a marketing professor at NYU Stern. He famously said the New York Times' worst mistake was letting Google index their website. And I think about that often. I was like, yeah, actually, you know, back when publishers were being onboarded onto, say, display and programmatic advertising, the way it was presented was, and perhaps nobody knew what was going to happen, was that this is going to be an exponential outcome for publishers because they're going to drive and scale. They don't have to do much. They publish content, all the ads are automatically placed. They get a big slice. The ad networks such as Google would get a big slice. Consumers, you know, they see ads already. But then it ended up just becoming a raw deal. The value just continues. The share of the opportunity for publishers becomes diminished. Now we're in this crazy situation where here in Australia, in Canada, and in California, and I think in parts of Europe as well, the governments are trying to get these big tech social media networks, Google and Search, they're trying to get them to actually pay publishers because they've had such a raw deal out of the internet economy. And you know what that led to here in Australia? That actually led to Google shutting down all news websites for, I think it was like a week or something on social media. This is a couple of years ago, in retaliation, because why would we pay news publishers for links, for us to present links on their website where they make money, they get website traffic from? It's the most insane, diabolical thing you've ever heard. It makes no sense. You know, it's basically a link tax. And I see that and I look at that. That's just the consequences of a decade of publishers just getting a raw deal out of the internet economy, where they actually should be getting a great deal. You know, they actually should. They're the ones that, like, individual content creators, the millions and billions of people who create content for free that the social media platforms rely on and search rely on, they all rely on people creating stuff for free. And it is the most insane environment in where you think of all the talent and effort and nobody gets a good deal out of it. So I can kind of see how affiliates and like...
I hear you and I see you. Like, I feel your passion through the microphone here, Juan. And you know what? The other thing is consumers.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, like, advertising hasn't been a great experience for us as consumers when we're in line, like pop-up banners and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But imagine you are, you know, listening to your favorite artist on Spotify, and I'm guessing it's Miley Cyrus one. Yours would be, wouldn't it? Something like that. And you're listening to Miley on Spotify, and you know, as you're kind of listening to it, a link is surfaced where you can click on that link and buy a ticket to the concert, which is happening down the road from you. That's live today. That's actually a partnership between Spotify and Ticketmaster. And as a consumer, that's a value to you. You love this artist. You didn't know there was a concert on down the road, but now you know, and you can actually buy tickets to that. That's happening today. It's an integration between Ticketmaster and Spotify. It's our technology that's sitting in the background. Wow. But it's a win-win-win. So now the publisher, in this case, you know, it's Spotify as a publisher is making money, but everyone wins. So it's that type of relationship, which I think is the new world. So a win for the brand, a win for the publisher, and a win for the consumer.
Mm. Yeah, I hope, because, you know, we've always seen the internet as a world of opportunity, that, you know, the most impressive thing the internet ever done was lift so many people out of poverty, given economic opportunities. Like, you and I both have careers because of the internet. It didn't exist, we would never have met, right? But that, my view is that with that opportunity, it unfortunately, that leads to monopolistic behaviors and companies that are, that gain a greater share of that opportunity purely by the nature of scale and technological sophistication, and also our, you know, powerful search and algorithms that keep people hooked in and attention driven to certain websites. You know, like back in the day, you would browse maybe dozens of websites. You'd maybe go over to one website to look at recipes, one website for, say, messaging like MSN Messenger, or maybe go into MySpace for a little bit. But then you might go to like three or four different forums. Then you might go onto a different website, right? But now the center of gravity, like if you look at the share of website traffic, so much of it is pulled in by these super massive social media networks. And I think that that just leaves everyone poorer. I think it just leaves so many more companies and content creators and entrepreneurs begging for scraps, when the rest of the internet, like, should be an open space for us to be doing commercial opportunities like this. So I'm a bit of a champion. I think as we're going, I'm learning more, I'm getting more passionate, because I think that there's just a fantastic opportunity here to help decentralize some of this opportunity to monetize content through advertising, and also through our partnerships and affiliate as well. But I wanted to touch on one aspect of this, which is the hard bit, I think, of affiliate marketing, which is this idea of analytics and getting insight and awareness around how consumers and behaviors are tracking around affiliate marketing. Because there is another side, because every affiliate's different. They have different website tracking setups. They've got different types of content. They've got all kinds of situations. It's hard to track it back. But like, how does impact.com help sort of close that loop around analytics, attribution, and helping to find insights around consumers as well?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, when we were originally kind of started, we were big on tracking. So we started, and our core was a tracking business. So we track everything. So when advertisers or brands or the demand side is using our technology, they provide links out to those publishers, and they're the impact links. So we're like a system of record, and those affiliates use and those publishers use our links. So it's all kind of tracked back, and we're that system of record. And then all the analytics happens within that actual system itself. So there's, you know, 101 reports which are already built there. We have a data lab as well, which is building the technology, so you can put various kind of parameters to build your own kind of reports. But it's fundamentally based on this quality of tracking, and it doesn't matter whether it's in mobile or that's in web. But that's really important and at the core of the impact.com sort of offering. But there's something I want to circle back on, if you don't mind, Juan.
Yeah,
when we're talking about these little economies. So you got me thinking about some of the businesses that we're working with and kind of economies that they're creating. So it's a new kind of world. So if I look at a business like ZeroCo, for instance, right? So ZeroCo is a multi-use plastic company, fantastic company out of Byron Bay, where, you know, they have various types of partnerships, but one of the ones they have is with schools. So they have their multi-use plastics in schools, but then have given the schools the ability to sell that product to their communities. And if the schools are selling their multi-use kind of plastic product, which you can use, you know, your home and for, you know, beauty or just cleaning type of things at in home to their school community, that school gets paid. So you've got now, you've got a business, a brand, which is tapped into a school, and that school is then selling it to their community and earning money off that. So you've got this economy that's being created via the internet, via kind of partnerships, which is really kind of interesting. And we're starting to see a lot more of this. I'll give you another example. So New Balance, which I'm guessing you've heard of New Balance, fantastic shoes, is another customer of impact.com. And they have heaps and heaps and partners. But one of the really unique, interesting partnerships I think they have is they have it with universities and university students. So they go into universities, they go into colleges, and they educate these students on New Balance and what's happening and the sustainability of New Balance and the product and the brand. And then they choose a few of those university students as ambassadors, those that really get it, those that want to be involved, those that kind of resonate with the brand. And those university students then sell to their friends, their family, their communities, the shoes or the products, the clothes. And they get paid for that as well, because they're set up as a content creator, an influencer, and they do all that via our kind of platform. So when we're talking about these like economies within economies and interesting ways, and whether advertising works or it doesn't, or it's gone the wrong way, or, you know, publishers missing out, community people missing out, it's like, this is a way that you can be really kind of creative and think about what economies can you create? Who can you find? Well, who do you value, and how do you offer them something of value? And I think that's really unique and really interesting. And we see that all around the world. Yeah. So I thought I just wanted to circle back on that.
Yeah. No, I think there's, I guess again, the partnerships are powered by good insights. You know, how do you know that's working? And those partnerships would probably be weaker without a platform that standardizes that or instills trust on both parties, that the data shared is, you know, it's high quality data, it's voracious, but also for the actual brands that, yeah, that they're actually getting good insights. I mean, they can actually learn things. And that example that you gave with running affiliates within schools or within universities, it's a fantastic opportunity. And you know what? I think the analytics piece is fundamental to that, because then you get the insight into if this partnership is working and in which ways it is working. But secondly to that, I think which is quite an interesting thing to think about, is that marketers are not used to being so creative like that. You know what I mean? Like, who would have known a school would have been a great place to grow a brand? You wouldn't have known unless you tried. And that's what I hope, is that out of this malaise of third-party cookies going away and privacy pressures, that the pressure on the marketing teams within businesses would help them to create more, experiment more, try new partnerships and opportunities, instead of relying on, you know, massive ad networks to do all of that stuff for them. And so, again, impact.com, a lot of opportunities, a lot of places to explore, but you kind of need to be creative and wanting to experiment as well. You know, not every affiliate partnership is going to work out, but you might have 2 out of 10 that work really well, right? And that's my point, is that I think this whole moment gives marketers an opportunity to experiment more.
Yeah, be super creative. Work with like-minded brands that have the same kind of audience that you're after. Yeah, there's multiple examples of that happening across the platform as well. And if you are a technology business, can you integrate with other technology businesses that make sense and partner with other technology businesses? An example there would be Canva and HubSpot, right? So Canva, you know, design business, HubSpot does marketing automation. Imagine if you're in HubSpot, which does marketing automation, but you want your actual marketing to look better. Well, you can, because they've got an integration where you can sign up for Canva via your platform. And then Canva is actually paying HubSpot to generate them some new business for their pro edition. So these type of things are really kind of interesting. That's technology and technology. The people are still involved, right? You need people to talk to other people to do it.
Of course.
But then the technology does all the heavy lifting. And you can go off and be more creative and think about some other kind of business development ideas that can move the needle on your business.
If anything, this conversation has made me more excited about the opportunities ahead for marketers. You know, I think that there is just a wonderful world of opportunity that most marketers, particularly marketers that are deep in ad tech and growth, that they may not have been seeing. So I think affiliate partnerships, these ecosystems of ecosystems, as you mentioned, are all really fascinating ways to think about the opportunities to tap into communities, tap into specific content niches as well. Adam, thanks for joining us. But I do have one final question for you, which is, given that we've been talking about creating stuff on the internet all afternoon, where can we find you on the internet and how can we interact with you?
On the internet, on the interwebs. Look, LinkedIn's probably the best place to find me. Just put in Adam Finesse and look for a guy in glasses based in Sydney that's working at impact.com and hopefully that's me and let's connect.
Great. Well, we are regularly interviewing people who are featured all the time on the MarTech Weekly. Folks like Adam Finesse who are pushing the boundaries on new ways to do affiliate marketing and to drive growth in business. If you'd like to delve into more topics, you can subscribe at themartechweekly.com. And if you enjoyed this conversation, we would love, love, love it if you could give a review on your favorite podcatcher. But Adam, thanks for joining us.
Juan, thanks for having me.